Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. We've been following an important story in the sometimes confusing world of religious liberty. It has to do with just how much power a corporation has to override the dictates of the civil authorities. I'm talking, of course, about the Hobby Lobby Supreme Court case. Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, is with us today to bring us up to date. Lincoln, what do we need to know?
Well, we probably need to know more than has been revealed to this point, because if anybody's listened to the media, and perhaps even better, if they've heard any of the discussion by the justices as they began hearing the case, they'll know that it's very complicated. Yes. And there are several ways you can come at this issue. Up front, it seems very simple. It's a large corporation, Hobby Lobby. Most everybody's seen a Hobby Lobby store in the strip mall or near the local mall. It's a very successful business, started by a husband and wife. They're billionaires, of course, now, and they've got thousands of stores. I think they've got something like 13,000 workers and the couple of David and Barbara Green. But I don't think the customers have known until now who runs it. They might have guessed there were 13,000 workers because it's a very large, ever-present organization. Well, Hobby Lobby didn't really start the current issue, but they've brought it to a high pitch. The Roman Catholic Church took violent and very public exception a few years ago to the introduction of the Affordable Health Care Act, and they said that it was forcing them to support, by providing insurance to their employees, it was forcing them to support contraception procedures that they are, of course, opposed to. Mm-hmm. And that fight's ongoing. But that's sort of an open-ended thing. That's just a blast from the curia, from the bishops. And I'm sure in another program we were talking about President Obama meeting the Pope. I'm sure they spoke about this. It was mentioned in the press release, but not as on the agenda. But, you know, that's ongoing. But it's hit the courts now with two cases, the Hobby Lobby chain, which through which the owners have said that they will not pay this mandate. It went to the courts initially, and it was upheld. At the same time, roughly, a company called Conestoga Wood, a Mennonite family-owned furniture company, also said that they would not cover the certain contraception elements of the healthcare. So they were objecting. They lost in the courts, and I think because this is the same thing coming two different ways. Mm-hmm. They've ended up as the same case, which they began to hear it at the Supreme Court. We expect the decision around September. And while many of us have heard and analyzed what was said, I'm not really sure we know which way it's going. Mm. On the face of it, I think the Supreme Court is very likely to uphold the right of Hobby Lobby to withhold the healthcare mandate from their employees, mm-hmm. for the simple reason that a few years ago, the Supreme Court, in an extremely perverse decision, held that corporations are individuals. They have the rights of individuals.
Yes.
And that led to a strange presidential election last time around. Remember, where deep pocket, mostly conservative organizations had unlimited funding for cover organizations that were not quite political action groups, but, well, they were political action PACs, I think they were called, but they skipped past the restrictions on political giving because they were these now empowered corporations. Whether the Supreme Court regrets that, I don't know. If they regret it, they may go differently on this. Mm-hmm. But if they're consistent with themselves, they probably will give the right to Hobby Lobby. As one of the justices asked, can a corporation have a religious viewpoint? Does it have the same rights as an individual? In other words, does it have a conscience? What determines its religious viewpoint? Is it a majoritarian viewpoint? That's an interesting question. Where I think there's a problem, and I haven't heard anyone writing about this, I do believe the Roman Catholic Church, which speaks very forthrightly and I think generally with good intent on religious liberty nowadays, because they've become true believers. They're being persecuted in many countries, not the U.S., but The Roman Catholic Church knows the value of religious freedom of late. But I think the Catholic Church is taking us down a wrong alley because their view of religious liberty is very corporatist. They've long held and still hold to their members that what the church body, the magisterium, the church fathers say, mm-hmm. you go with that. That has critical mass. It's mm-hmm. not predominantly the conscience of the individual or the offshoot. Never, you know, the offshoot's not to be empowered. Yeah. And while philosophically they've assented to the rights of the individual, they keep repeating, and their history would demand, they keep repeating this corporatist view. So I think if the Supreme Court empowers corporations, if it then empowers Catholic institutions, we're likely to see an institutional projection of religious practice that could exclude very easily the individual dissident.
Now, Lincoln, that begs the question, when does an institution become an institution? My wife and I run a business, and this is one of the things that we do, is this radio program and talking to you, and we enjoy this very, very much. And we can decide what kind of programs we want to put on there. We can decide our own insurance coverages. We could decide. If I were to have one employee, two employees, three employees, when does my business become an institution? And should I be concerned that the reverse may be true, where the government will start coming back to little old one-person institutions such as me and saying, no, you can't make these decisions?
Well, I think that's really what's at play here. And again, I haven't read this, but I can deduce this, the fact they've bundled these two cases.
Yes.
The family furniture business, it's probably not too tiny, but it's clearly more of a family business.
Yes.
On the one hand, versus the big corporation Hobby Lobby. The original founders have strongly held personal Christian opinions.
Yeah, on one level, they're one and the same.
This is what you think of as a corporation.
Yes, yes.
Well, they're one and the same, but they're on the far opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's possible that the court might sort of try to bring a cleaver down between the two variants. Hmm. I don't know, but you're right. If this thing can cut badly both ways,
yeah.
because if you decide that a corporation doesn't have these rights, you and your wife may have incorporated
yeah.
for business purposes, and you might find that you're cut out of using your conscience. Now, it's worth remembering, because no one reminds the public of much of this, they're not being forced to do this. They're being told to do this, or there's a penalty, and
yes.
the penalty is actually no greater than paying for the.
That's true. That's true.
For the.
At least for now, that's
insurance.
True. At least for
well,
now,
that's true.
That's true.
It depends what the agenda is,
yeah.
but for now, I mean, many things that a Christian does have a cost.
Yeah.
We've also developed the view on religious freedom since we have a benign civil government toward religion. We think that there should be no cost and a total entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like religious freedom shouldn't guarantee an entitlement to everything in the world that is made up, what is it, the flesh and the devil.
Yes. Yes.
No, I think if there's an option, and some there was another case that I saw today years ago where a Jewish business was actually attacked by the government and penalized because they were closed on Sabbath.
Mm.
And they said that they were unable to be open on Sabbath because it was their day. So there's a case where it could get bad. But other times, if you're closed on Sabbath, you have your own penalty. You lose income.
Right.
I know in certain shopping malls, and I do admire a Chick-fil-A, for example, they're closed on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That's an impediment that they've overcome somehow. But normally, if you're not doing business during business time, after a while, you lose prominence. And the days you're open, you're not as well frequented.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always a cost to making a religious stand. And the idea that it should be removed, every cost removed by the government, I don't think is logical. What you don't want is the government forcing you
yes.
to do this.
Yes. Yes.
And so now we're down to definitions. Is it really forcing them, or is it just reminding such people that there's a cost? And I don't think any logical person could say if the cost is the same as providing that service,
mm-hmm. yes,
you know, in the fine,
yes, yes.
that you're really at a great disadvantage. No, the government's got its payment to subsidize what they intend, general coverage, and the business owner can continue without being forced to do it.
You know, you bring up an extremely important point here, the cost. No one wants to pay the cost. Now, whether you are gay, right, whether you are an atheist, whether you're a Muslim, whether you are a Christian, no one wants to pay the cost. We want the entire world just to be open-armed to us and say, look, you can do these things and we will not exact anything from you because you believe that way.
Right. And at the end of the day, it turned around, that attitude is persecution.
Yes.
Because a Christian, and this is what I think is implicit, I better be careful, I don't want to malign the motives, but at least it's one implicit aspect of the original Catholic objection. It's wanting to project the problem onto the community. Mm. Like, I don't believe in abortion, so I will make your life... I'm not pro-abortion. Listener understands that. Yeah. But, you know, they say, I don't believe in abortion, so I will forbid you to have it.
Yes, yes,
yes. Normally there would be a social cost and a social challenge for a group or an individual that doesn't believe to speak out, to live that way, and to project their view through a witness. But no, instead, it's really demanding that someone else, to their pain, because they don't have that conviction, will believe that and act that way. Mindset of persecution.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't start off with malice, but very quickly it'll end up, as I've quoted on this program before, where Cardinal Dolan, in a good speech on religious liberty, paused a bit, and then he says, my church once didn't hold this view. He says, we held that error has no rights.
No rights, yeah.
Well, it's not a long jump from forcing other people to agree through the dynamic of restricting them having something that the government would otherwise give them. There's a little gap between that and then saying, well, you don't have the right to it anyway because you're wrong. Hmm. You know, liberty doesn't mean license, and most people know that. That sounds nice. But it shouldn't mean license to project my religion by force of law or worse on the rest of society. And I think there's a certain lack of respect. And please, I wouldn't want to suggest it's only one-sided. We know that many secularists don't respect the right of religionists to hold their views, but it hardly deepens their respect or helps their lack of respect by then trying the same game back on them.
Exactly.
Where the court will go on this, you have to read Liberty magazine to find out.
All right.
But not so much on the way they'll go, but what we need to discuss what's at play here.
Yes.
And as I say, the very strong likelihood is that the court will uphold the exception for them. But then, as the justices have wondered aloud, almost any corporation will say that they want an exception for any reason.
For any reason.
We know some of the old ones. They have a religious conviction that minorities shouldn't be working there.
Yeah.
They have a conviction that people that live a certain way or have an immoral lifestyle shouldn't work there.
Yeah.
You know, once you get that way, it's right down the track of what the governor of Arizona recently vetoed. A bill that would allow you to not serve someone because you don't like their moral viewpoint when you have a public business.
All right. Well, as we can see, this is an ongoing issue, and we'll be talking about it more on this program. Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
And until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Lincoln Steed, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.